The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, out, it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front, here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Well, weekend number one for Michigan Tech hockey in the 2020-21 season is in the books, and not the results that we were hoping for, but we will move on and get ready for the Northern Michigan Wildcats this week. Now, Friday and Saturday night after a tie and a nothing-nothing overtime tie Saturday at Taffy Able Arena against Lake State, and then a 4-1 loss last night or yesterday afternoon against the Lakers with an empty net goal included in that. So the Lakers take 3 out of 4 non-conference points, if you will, I guess, as we are with Joe Schott and Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Before we get to Coach, I want to remind you, if you have a question for Coach Schott, you can email it to us if you're listening live here on Monday morning, dj@themix93.com. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Dirk.
My quick turnaround when you play on Sunday afternoon, and bam, here you are, 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday for your for your show. I like the early starts, though, and it seems to be the consensus through most of the players, anyway, and the coaches.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was, you know, with the current scenario, we were still able to get a good night's sleep last night, thank God, because I was up at 5 o'clock with a pit in my stomach this morning, but I'd still have gotten my sleep, gotten some good sleep, 5-6 hours, so... it was good. You never want to start out, especially the first show of the year, but any show with not the outcome we were hoping or expecting, but we have a starting point to work from. We've got to move ahead from here.
But you mentioned that in your post game, we have a base point to kind of figure out where we are now after that long preseason and getting ready for those first games. And, you know, we really don't know how these teams, I mean, you look at some of the scores and we'll talk about it, but, you know, Bemidji and Mankato, 5-0. I mean, how does that happen? You know, it's just, I think there's so many unknowns going into this first couple of weekends, trying to feel everybody's team out.
Yeah, you know, Bemidji may have had a little bit like we have. They're built in many ways like we are. And when you get press clippings and things, you know, I think in a lot of ways, I think a fair thing to say is that we played the game this weekend on paper instead of playing it on the ice, you know, returning whatever, the fifth most goals in the country, third most points in the country, returning players, things like that. And then we get one power play goal on the weekend. You know, you got to play the game on the ice. You got to compete. You got to battle. And there's maybe a handful, maybe 4 players, maybe 3 veteran players that I think showed improvement over last year when we ended the year. I certainly liked Kateroff. I certainly liked Brett Thorne. I thought he was outstanding. He's going to be a tremendous player for us. I thought Sinclair did a great job in the Nets for newcomers. I thought Pietla showed good growth, showed where he's going to be our top center, but until someone knocks him off that perch, and when that happens, that means we're going in the right direction. I thought he played pretty well, and played really well, actually. What I saw other than that was a team that looked like, you know, like we were playing hockey for the lottery, where we were, I'm going to turn into a professional player out of the draw of a hat instead of having to earn my living the hard way, the good old-fashioned way, and know that I build that bank account $1 at a time. We have to certainly punch that clock and get to work. We look like we did last year right now when we started the year 2-6, and I think we have to approach it as teaching everything all over again and trying to find ways to hold accountability on veteran players that are going to, you know, probably push back a bit on wanting to be held accountable much like 2 years ago. So we'll see where this all shakes out.
You mentioned after the game last night that when push came to shove, when it was down to that pivotal point of the game, you know, tied 1-1 or down 2-1, that Lake State appeared to want it more. Do you feel that way after looking at film too?
Yeah, I don't know if they. I wouldn't say they wanted it more. Yeah, we watched. I watched video this morning. I wouldn't say they wanted it more. I don't question our effort. I think they executed better. I think that they were more focused as a group than we were, and I think that was really a telltale of our weekend. In that we were, I thought we played very individualized. If you look at plays around the puck, we engaged at the puck, but everybody else rested and watched what was going on around the puck, instead of being fully engaged for the entire shift. So, again, it looked very similar to me than it did when Alaska came in here a year ago and swept us on our first weekend here at home. And then we went on, like I said, 2-6 start. And, you know, it took us 8 games last year to get it going. I would have thought that we would have come out with a little better structure than we came out with. A lot of the scoring chances we gave up, you know, we have some guys doing their job, and we have a lot of guys sitting back watching them doing their job. So it's got to start from our leadership. You know, it's got to start from those guys holding each other accountable. We have to certainly look at us as a staff, and, you know, that's my first look is inward at, okay, what didn't we cover? What didn't we prepare them for? And then the structure of, okay, if we covered that, why aren't we seeing that? And that's what we have to, I mean, that's what leadership's all about is getting guys to do really what they don't want to do, but believing it's the right thing to do and then executing it. And so we have to show good leadership, and we certainly have to get good leadership in that locker room to get it across. But again, it comes down to us all holding ourselves accountable, and we all have to look in the mirror right now and get back to work. Good thing that they were conference games and we're 2 games in, but if Michigan would have come in here skating the way they skate, the games would have been absolutely lopsided instead of us really being there right at the very end in both games.
You talked about a couple of players, Coach, and Jake Crespi, one of them, you know, only played 20 games, I think, last year as a freshman, the Brighton, Michigan native coming in here. I thought looked really good. You had mentioned him several times in your pregame and postgame comments. And is he one of those guys that you feel the more ice time he starts to get underneath his belt that he really improves his play?
Well, I saw a lot of good things out of Jake, even in last night's game. He was only involved maybe in 1 scoring chance for last night, but he was involved in maybe 5 or 6 that were very close, and someone didn't, you know, finish their job on it or something broke down on it, but he made the plays that he needed to make to spring it and make it happen. Very few scoring chances against, I believe 1 on where we lost a battle down low behind the net, and he might have bit a little bit on coverage when they came behind the net, and he was weak side coverage. But other than that, he didn't hurt us defensively, and he made some plays offensively for us, I thought. So he still has to grow his complete understanding of the game so that we can rely on him for a top 6 role. But as does everybody. We didn't have top 6 players this weekend. And the biggest thing I think I said after the game is that their veteran players certainly outplayed our veteran players with the game on the line. We both returned virtually an entire decor. We both returned our significant forwards up front. We lost Alex Smith, a 20-plus point guy. They lost Hummett, a 20-plus point guy. And other than that, we returned most of what we returned. Goaltending, I think, was the same both ways. Our guy was good. They were both good on the scoring chance. I guess we're probably about the same in save percentage of quality scoring chance against. So on the weekend. So I think the difference was their veteran players performed. I thought Vallette was very good for them. I thought Ashton Calder was very good for them. And what I really saw in honesty is a team that they were comfortable icing the puck whenever they got in trouble, feeling that man for man they could handle our guys. So they really challenged our skill level and our grit and our compete in saying, we feel we can win the faceoff. We feel that we can handle you in our D zone. Don't be afraid to ice the puck. And we need to stress that a little bit more and say, okay, listen, if they're going to keep giving us zone possession and line of scrimmage plays, you know, we have to execute better than they do. I give them credit. I think, again, I think they're top guys, a mainly dominated team, a veteran-dominated team, both teams being a lot of veterans. I thought their veteran players outplayed ours.
I mentioned this to you last night, I believe, and you know, we talk about Lucas Kuybul and what he's able to do out there, and it just seemed like we had some really good plays throughout the weekend set up, whether you know a quick two-on-one from the top of the circle in that we you know maybe at the end of last year was money for us, especially when Botts is involved with it or Pietola. But it seemed like, again, Lake State, and we've had this with them before, they seem to be very good at anticipating getting sticks in passing lanes, going down, sacrificing the body, and just doing whatever they could for us not to be able to make that last play and have an easy touch-in goal. Did you see it that way at all, or was it just us?
Yeah, I did. And I want to make sure I add one point, too. I think we were out-coached this weekend, too. They got their veteran players to play a certain way, and we didn't. So I want to make sure I'm not putting this all on players. You know, our job is to get the players to play a certain way. So, you know, we're back to where we started. We have to reteach as a coaching staff and hold accountability into what we need. So and I did see what you're saying. We had we marked more, or at least as many we marked at least as many scoring chances as they did yesterday, but they didn't equate to scoring chances because we tried to pass it through guys and things and tried to make cute plays while they drove. Look at their goals.
Right.
They drove on we had three guys back on their first goal. They drove it, threw it at the net. It bounced out off of Mark, hit a guy, and went in the net. Let's look at their second goal. We pinched. We held the wall on that play. We had three guys back, and again, a very similar play. They got behind a forward who was a stack position guy and made a play behind us and got to a guy right below the top of below the hash marks in front of the net and made a play. We're in position on those. They were harder and harder in those tough areas. You asked me before the game on our pregame show Friday, what do you need to do? We need, I think I told you about five or six things, and one of them was we need to play in hard ice. We need to make sure we play in hard ice. They played harder in hard ice. You know, their third goal, they had a one-on-one with coverage and walked right around us at the red line and walked in and made a ESPN move between the legs for a goal, just kind of jamming it, at us a little bit. Good play by Calder. They played harder in hard ice. We played cuter. So what you're saying is exactly right. They got sticks on pucks. They were more determined. And I give them credit. I give them a ton of credit. When you play against Lake State, when you play against Bemidji, normally when you play against us, you have to strap on your chin strap a little bit and play. And when we play, we're really made up of power forwards and forecheckers with a couple skill guys mixed in there. You got Paratino, you got Bliss, a couple of skill guys, with a bunch of, Hallamans and Bretzmans and Big Kateros and Bantles and size strength guys. Poglace, who forechecks hard, things like that. Misiak, who's a forechecker. If we don't have that element, that hard element, and stay above our checks and be nasty in battles and things, if we're trying to play a skill game, it's not a good recipe for us.
You mentioned Logan Pietola. Maybe I didn't notice it at the beginning of last year when he first became a Husky, but it seems like the confidence level he has right now, not just from the skill point of his game, but, man, he is really mucking it up in the corners and going full tilt the whole shift out there. Is that at all different from his first couple of games last year, or is that kind of how he always was?
No, that's what I said. He's about the only forward that I would say that we had on the ice this weekend that looked better. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think Crespi did as well. That looked better this weekend than they looked even last year. And we know that Logan Pietola was good last year. Like he was creating time. Everything that we want a player to do, he created time and space in the offensive zone. He limited time and space. He only got caught a couple of times where he was backing off. That's something we've really been working on with him in D-zone covers, making sure that he fully engages and takes accountability. We need the guy at the puck to do his job and not pass it off to somebody else. Because when you pass it off to somebody else, that means you're out of the play. And if he, now they've drawn somebody else, and that means somebody's open. You know, they've made the 2-on-1 somewhere. So first guy has to do his play, has to do his job. He's a lot better at doing his job, and now he's gaining confidence with the puck on doing things. So we want to see continued growth from him. I'd like to see him move up to be a leader in scoring for us, one of our top scorers. I think he got near 20 points last year, if I'm not mistaken, maybe right on 20.
Yep.
And he has the ability to do that for us. He's playing with good players, but he also needs growth out of the players around him to play a hard game and not cheat on it and possess the puck in the offensive zone. So he and Crespi, probably to me, in the series overall, Crespi still showed where he has to learn to complete every zone on what to do in every zone and not hesitate. But as far as overall, I thought Piedla was our best forward overall.
You have that big line. I mean, big guys out there: Arvid Katteroth, Alec Bretzman, and Carson Bantle. And of course, a lot of anticipation of Carson becoming a Husky and draft picked and everything. And you had said several times to me, he's still a freshman. He's still a freshman. He certainly made some nice plays this week. And what was your overall thought on Carson? I know he struggled in some areas, but what were your thoughts from a coach?
I like his energy. I like how hard he works, how hard he competes. Same with Arvid, but we have to help them learn the game, and learn ice. So, because right now they're overworking and they're over pursuing and they're getting caught. I call it getting stuck. They're getting, both of them stuck below the play where one guy's going and then the other guy's going, and then the puck gets by both of them and they're maybe even running into each other because they're working so hard, and then the other team's coming up ice and they're chasing the play. I want them to be more playing off, again, what I was saying, playing off of the effort of the first guy. First guy take away time and space, doing a job, so the second guy, if needed, can get in and get the puck, and then the two big guys get body positioning and make plays from that, because they have long reaches and good frames on them. So we'll spend some good time with them. They're going to be good. We have to keep them growing and keep them confident, but we can't be depending on them being our top line. They're freshmen that need time to grow. So I was happy with the way they both played, with their work ethic, and they certainly care and want to get better. And we're hoping that once they get it, understand it, they don't lose it, you really need your veterans showing the way and teaching your young guys. We say that all the time, and the worst thing you can have is if you sit in and you call your veterans in and say, okay, let's have a talk, and you're talking about accountability and things, and they are saying to you, well, we can't hold others accountable when we're not accountable. Because then the only question is, how come in year three or four are you not accountable? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's where that's right now what we have to get. And again, we were like that last year at this time. I would have hoped that we would have gone right into it and been right into everything that we need to do and not having to be show simple corrections. Simple plays, especially when they're regarding aggressiveness and compete level. But we have to do and make sure that we certainly worked on it in practice, and the video that we'll see today as a group will be, okay, where are we missing it here? Where did we not drill the heck out of this complete sequence here over and over and over again? That's what they're going to see. Where did we miss the boat on getting the point of this across so that it was executed flawlessly?
Folks, the voice you're listening to is Joe Schoen. It's the Joe Schoen Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. If you are listening live here on Monday morning, send your question and get it in quick, though, and we'll ask that question for you to Joe a little bit later on in the hour. The email address is dj@themix93.com. We'll talk more about the past weekend against Lake State, and soon look forward to the weekend home and home against Northern Michigan. Again, Friday night's game is down at the Barry Event Center. Saturday's at the John McGinnis Dinner and Ice Arena for the Huskies' home opener. And we'll be right back with more right after these.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Trevo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Buckles has just what you need in store for this hunting season. Save your bucks at Buckles Party Store in Calumet. See Buckles store-wide beer specials, along with all other kinds of drinks, booze, nice ice prices, and of course, all your favorite snacks and fresh Skinny Pete's products. Stay warm with Kuna alpaca gear from Buckles Clothing Department, including warm winter socks. Buckles in Calumet is the hunting headquarters of the North, selling licenses and feed. All sales do not include taxes and deposit at Buckles in Calumet, open 7 days a week, where the party starts.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted.
Please drink responsibly.
Bantle, a power move to the net, driven down, and he got a shot off and a safe eight by Mittens. Mittens lost his goaltender stick somewhere. Huskies hold it in, trying to get the first goal of the game. Right to the front of the goal, a spin-around move made by Bretzman. And couldn't afford Lake State, makes a nice move to the front. Here's a chance in front, shot! Save, loose puck, and it just went wide of the net! It's still lying there at the side of the goal. Oh, the Huskies get a break there, and the St. Clair did a good job of staying with it and somehow kept it out of the net. They'll get it across the line. They've got something going right to the front of the net. A shot saved, made by St. Clair. Oh, the Huskies got beat. Same goes for the Lakers. Here's a chance for Bretzman. Shot! This one deflected. 3-on-2 developing across for Bretzman. Bretzman coming down, looking at front pass, and broken up by the defenseman who's going down on the play. Lakers, they wanted a penalty, not going to get it. Pass up the way now. Here's a chance for Bliss coming in. His shot, save, rebound! Another save by Mittens. Miura bringing it down to the front of the goal. Miura walks in, and he fanned on it. He was right in front of St. Clair.
Some of the highlights from Saturday's game, the first game of the weekend, put together by the Michigan Tech crew, video crew up there. Nice job, guys. And, yeah, a lot of highlights, but no scoring in that first game. And then we go to overtime. And, of course, everybody, including myself, was like, oh, yeah, they did change that up this year with the 3-on-3 right away. And just can you talk a little bit about that, Coach? And of course, probably not guessing that you're going to have to deal with that in the very first game of the year after not scoring in regulation. But overtime with that 3-on-3.
Yeah, the new format is 3-on-3 automatically, not 5-on-5. And that counts in per NCAA. So it really comes down to who has the best three players or the best six players that can go out there and get multiple chances and put the puck in the net. It's really going to favor the teams with the top-end players, the top-end skill players, because there's a lot of ice to work with. But that's kind of – it kind of got put through. It was deeply discussed, but there was a lot of misunderstanding by a lot of people on what was actually partaking in that is with regards to how it was going to impact the pairwise. But it got through, and that's the new format that – the 65 minutes is what we're playing, 5 minutes of 3-on-3. And then after that, it's up to, like, if we play a non-conference game against a non-conference opponent, there's no shootout.
Right.
They've said no shootouts for non-conference opponents. But if you're playing a non-conference game against a conference opponent, you can have the shootout and work it that way.
Which was, as you mentioned, was meaningless in that game, right?
Yeah, no, there's no points on the line in that game and nothing. It was nothing. It doesn't – there's no points, no NCAA value, no nothing value except for a team coming out feeling that they won a hockey game. So, but there's nothing in standings. There's nothing anywhere. I mean, Lake State will put somewhere in their stats 0-1 and – 1-1 or something, or have a
right.
1 point for a shootout win in there, but it won't mean anything because we'll list it as a tie, I'm sure, in our statistics because that's what it is as far as the NCAA.
So with this crazy preseason leading up to us finally playing now, how much of that 3-on-3 overtime, because we do get to overtime quite a bit throughout the year on average, how much was on the minds of the coaching staff as far as preparation for that, or was it at all?
No, we did. We played a lot of 3-on-3. We do that anyway, small games, small area stuff, and we had some really good chances. Sawyer made a great indirect play, springing Blitz for a breakaway, and then we got another outside play and sprung Perotino. Actually, he intercepted a pass, I believe, and walked in on another breakaway in the 3-on-3. So we had a couple breakaway opportunities, weren't able to finish in the 3-on-3 portion that could have won that hockey game.
Mark Sinclair, the transfer from Alabama Huntsville, playing both games in net. Coach, I thought he looked really good, as you did too, especially in game one. Again, I'm not a goaltender, but as I mentioned on the air several times, what I like about him, having watched him 3 years as it is, but now being able to watch him more as a Husky, what I like about him is he really doesn't move more than he has to. He doesn't waste energy. He's in the right spot at the right time, it seems like, just about every time.
Yeah, he does a good job. You know, the goals, the first goal, like we said, he let in three goals. One was he made the save, and we didn't tie our guy up well. It bounced off their guy and went in the net. The second one was a two-on-one where they got in behind our coverage. And then the third one was a breakaway. So they had a breakaway basically from the red line in, and they were able to score. So I thought he more than did his job. No goals against him. Jamie's done a good job with all of our goaltending. We'll look to get it. Blake Piedle is going to be just as good in the net. So I think our goaltending is solid, and that I don't believe that that's going to be any issue. And they do have Jamie Phillips here to do a good job. So between Jamie and I, we can certainly talk the goaltending out, and Jamie spending a lot of time with them as well. So I think we're going to be good in that position.
Well, and talk a little bit about that, if you could, Coach, because with the COVID thing, you know, we really haven't been able to interact a whole lot with the staff like we usually do. And, I said hi to Jamie a couple of times down there, but, you know, he was such an important piece of a puzzle back when he was on this team. And how much of an aid for the goaltenders is he going to be?
Oh, big time. Because Jamie, I was brought in here for Jamie. They Tech didn't like the goaltending, even though Phoenix Copley signed. Felt they were going to have a good team, so I was brought in to handle the D side of the puck and the goaltending. And he was an all-league player 2 years for us. So a tremendous, broke the career shutouts record. He flourished, and we have a really good relationship, a good understanding, a commonality of the position. I wouldn't say we butted heads, but I certainly wanted to help him make some alterations in his game, which he was receptive and did, and I think it really helped him. And once he got done with his pro career and saw and felt like, you know, I think he always knew that he was going to take the pro until he saw he wasn't on the upswing, and then he was going to go back and get his master's. And as soon as we had that discussion, it was, for me, it was an easy decision to get him back here and be able to work with him. He's conscientious, caring, detail-oriented, no nonsense about him. Stop the puck or don't stop the puck, no excuses. So he's a good addition to our staff for sure.
Well, let's take a listen to a couple of the goals on yesterday.
Do we have to?
Well, I know we'll go through them really quick because I know you like to break some of this stuff down. So here's that first goal.
Michigan Tech and Lake Superior State University. Hampus Erickson across the line. Got it to Mucha to the front of the goal. Right to Sinclair, and they score. Erickson with the goal on the rebound. Sinclair made the save. Him, but Erickson was right there to bat it home, and the first goal.
So there you go. The first goal of the weekend came in that second game, and you said there was no tie-up after that first shot, hey?
Yeah, nothing played. Just a guy getting it to the net with a guy driving back door. He shot it from somewhere around the dot area or just below the dot area, far pad, and we didn't box out. It might even have bounced off our guy. I don't know who they gave the goal to, if they gave it to the guy that was going to the net or not, but Mark was over on it, and it just kind of squirted through. It was really a nothing a nothing play that resulted in the goal, and I give Lake State credit for being hard in that hard ice.
Yeah, Erickson gets credit for the goal. Muka and Miura get the assist, his line mates, and that came at the 12:20 mark of the first period. That was the first goal of the weekend. We go to the first intermission, trailing 1-0, but we come back and get a big power play goal, and Eric Goetz has one of my favorite wrist shots of any Husky I've ever seen, and he buried this
one. Trying to hold it in now at the line. He's going to need some help. Puck is right in front of the Michigan Tech bench there. 107 left to go on the power play. Eric Goetz walking in. His shot! And he scores! Eric Goetz finally gets on the board for the Huskies and ties this game up with a power play tally. 1-1 with 5:27 left to go here in the second period.
Trenton Bliss and Brendan Datema get the assist. There was that scrum right in front of you guys, Coach, at the bench there on the boards. And I liked how our guys kind of didn't overcommit to that scrum and waited for it to kind of pop out there. And that turned into an opportunity.
Yeah, it was a 3-on-3 scrum. They committed 3 players to it. We committed 3 players to it. And we ended up coming out. The puck squirted out to the top of it. And Datema was involved in the scrum as well. They both got assists. Blisser pulled that puck out and then threw it across the Goetz, and we had a 2-on-1 at the net, which kept the goaltender back, kept him back towards the net. So I believe that might have been Arvid down low by the goal, or maybe it was Grayson, but Goetz went in. It was a 2-on-1, which kept the goalie back deep in the net. And as you saw, Goetz has a very good release on his shot, and the goaltender didn't have much of a chance. It went up under the bar.
14:33 of the second, the time of that power play goal for the Huskies. That tied it up 1-1. We go to the third, all evened up. And Jack Jeffers, who's another transfer from Huntsville, beat his old goaltender in the third period to give the Lakers the lead in what turned out to be the game-winning
play
goal.
Play inside the Lakers zone. Misiak and Ganey in on the forecheck. Puck comes loose. Back out to center period. Percelli to the front. Makes a save. Oh, and they score! Jack Jeffers with the goal, able to slip it underneath Sinclair on a nice play, and the Lakers get the goal. 2-1 with 7:03 left to go in the third period.
What happened on that one, Coach?
Very, very similar to the first goal. We had numbers back. We just kind of let a guy get behind us, very slack on the back pressure from our stack, our middle defensive coverage. It was a forward there that our D went over, could only go part way. You know, they slipped. Our defenseman went along on the pinch and angled his guy, but then let him get above it and we get the puck back, which caused a little coverage change, but not. We had it all picked up by the red line, and we just got soft on our coverage. Again, it's guys playing hard and hard ice. It was very similar to the first one. They got behind us with a little bit. The first one, they put it on goal, and it popped out and went off bodies. The second one, they just threw it behind instead of putting it on goal, and their player got it and then made a quick little forehand or backhand to forehand move and snuck it in between. I think it went between Mark's legs as he was coming across. It was kind of a bang bang play from the hash marks in, but again, a very much a nothing play that should not have equated into even getting into our goal.
And that made it 2-1 in favor of the Lakers. They go up by 2, and this was a tough goal to give up here because it seemed like Michigan Tech had things kind of in control in the zone, I think, right before this one-on-one, and Ashton Calder ended up making a nice move on the goaltender Sinclair to give the Lakers a 2-goal lead.
Datema sends it towards the goal. Easy save by Isley. To the corner it goes. Pitched out of there and comes out to center ice. And now Buckley gets beat. Calder walking in. Shoots! Scores! Between the legs, off of the post and in. As the defenseman for the Huskies got walked, and it's a 2-goal lead for Lake State.
So that was the killer out there. It seemed, Coach, that what happened, because we did have good pressure right before that.
Yeah, we'd finally gotten, I think I mentioned that in the post game. We'd finally gotten what we wanted from our attack. We were finally getting the adjustment made, getting some buy-in from the players on the adjustment. We were getting into the zone and getting some force, and again getting too cute in the hard ice areas and not turning that into the shots we wanted, but certainly getting the penetration and the opportunities to get pucks at the goal. We were getting on the bench. We were getting ready, getting our six, our pull the goalie guys ready, because there's only about 2.5 minutes in the game or something like that when they scored that goal. So we were getting those guys ready. And just a poor play, one-on-one at the, you know, just a breakdown. One-on-one, we got walked. Our defenseman got walked at the red line, and they went in and had a breakaway basically from the red line in. So all things that we'll get better at, but we're being aggressive, a little too aggressive maybe in the offensive zone, trying to get that equalizer, and gave them a one-on-one, which should be harmless, but they had the skill. The right guy had the puck to make a play.
Yeah, Ashton Calder with the goal, his first of the season. Viet gets the assist. They added on an empty net goal with about 9 seconds left to go in the third period. 4-1 final, and Lakers get their first win of the season. Huskies will try to get theirs this weekend against the Northern Michigan Wildcats. Wildcats and the Lakers will play on Wednesday night at the Barry Event Center, as they will have a couple of Wednesday night contests, home and home, to try to get some more of these games in. We'll talk more about Michigan Tech hockey when we come back. You have a couple of minutes to get your questions in. If you're listening on Monday Morning Live, you can send them in right now, dj@themix93.com. More of the Joe Schaan Hour right after these.
Today tastes like movie night.
Okay, whose turn is it to choose?
And everyone's favorite hit, pizza and Coke. It tastes like a passionate debate. And settling for a classic.
Okay, pepperoni then.
Today tastes like front row seats for all. Like cushions and popcorn. And counting the seconds.
Pizza's here.
Today tastes like a slice of the action.
Hey, here's the light.
We belong here and now. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Don't forget, no family movie night is complete without a big comfy couch, your favorite pizza, and some delicious ice-cold Coke. Nothing tastes like everyone you love and everything you like coming together. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Shop Black Friday Week Deals Sunday through Friday at Kohl's. Plus, get $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. And take an extra 15% off. Get the Big One Throws, $8.49. Toastmaster Small Appliances are just $2.14 after rebate. And Fitbit Versa 2 is $129.99. Plus, take 30% off Lego, 70% off fine jewelry, and save on boots for her, $16.99. Plus, get fast and free store pickup. Shop Black Friday Week Deals at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Select styles. Offers valid November 22nd through the 27th. 15% off with promo code ENJOY15. Lego and Fitbit offers and coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Just close your eyes.
Boo, you already got me an iPhone SE from Cricket.
Okay, open.
A caribou.
It's a reindeer, dear.
In North America, it's called a caribou, Boo.
No way.
Well, I love my new iPhone SE and my new caribou. What's your name?
It's, Carrie, Boo.
Get the iPhone SE for $49.99 when you switch. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Ends 1/7/21. Excludes upgrades and AT&T ports. Limit 2 phones per customer. Activation fee $25 per line and additional one-time fees. $4 customer assistance fee may apply, subject to change.
Well, if you're wondering what some of these kids think about finally being able to play after, you know, having that month and a half delay to the start of the season and not being able to finish last season, Trenton Bliss talked with us after the first game on what it was like getting back on the ice in competition.
You know, it's always hard that first period, kind of just getting your legs underneath you. But then the second and third, I felt, and I think other guys on the team felt that our legs were a lot better. You know, obviously there was some sloppiness, and, you know, that's things that we got to get corrected. But first game back in, you know, 8 or so months, so we were just happy to be out there, and, you know, we just got to get that first goal to get us going.
Raymond Bryce wore number 23 until this year, and Trenton Bliss went from 28 to 23. He explains why.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of my number growing up. I knew Ray had it coming here, so I kind of just picked 28, you know, no really meaning. And then Harry and Brad kind of just gave me the opportunity. And, you know, at first I was like, do I want to change, but kind of thing. But, you know, it's just, it kind of has a special meaning to me. And because this is what my brother wore growing up, and he's the one that got me into hockey. So that's kind of the reason why.
And Trenton went on to talk about his thoughts on early starts, games that start in the afternoon.
This is a chance. I mean, I think we all don't really like I mean, maybe some guys, but at least me, I don't really like just kind of staying in the hotel. I'd rather just, I kind of got that itch just to, you know, be back out there, especially when we've waited so long for this moment. So I think, you know, we're well recovered, and, you know, we've been putting in the work to be able to play, you know, without the, you know, the long rest. You know, usually we have, what, 24 hours before our next game or something like that. So I think we're all excited and just want to get after and get that first win.
That was Trenton Bliss after game one over the weekend. And, Coach, he's just such a good kid, isn't he?
Our whole group is a great kid. We have a wonderful group of young men. So he's certainly wears a letter. He embodies what we do. And we were just actually talking about him earlier. There's a good chance he's the Alex Smith of our group. He's a guy that kind of controls things away. It's amazing how many players have told me the little things that Blisser's done for them, whether it regards the check-in, how they're doing in school and things like that. So, you know, he's really developed a good maturity, and he's been a great addition to our team.
We're here with head coach Joe Schaan. If you're listening live on Monday morning, a couple more minutes, we'll get to some questions for him. Why don't you, if you could, coach, one of the big players for us from the last couple of years was not on the trip this year, and that would be Brian Hallinan. And what can you tell us about him?
I don't anticipate seeing him play for a few more weeks. He's got an upper body injury, and he's got to be, you know, we got to just make sure that you never want to play a player, especially right now, if there's a chance of the injury getting worse due to playing. And that's where we're really, I guess the easiest way to say where we're at with Brian is that right now they're believing it's not something that won't be okay in 3 to 4 weeks. And that was a couple of weeks ago. So maybe we're getting close in another 2 weeks or so, but you certainly don't want to do anything ever or risk any player ever. That's one thing I've always been adamant of. Player has a fever, we don't want to play him. But you know, never risk anything long term for you know what a coach may feel is personal gain.
Yeah, well, nice to have him back in the lineup, and we wish the best for him. And, well, with that, though, other people get to step in and let them show you what they can do. And there's always a silver lining there. And guys that maybe wouldn't be playing are getting that opportunity right now.
Yeah, but it's amazing what not having his heavy body in the lineup and his skating ability does for us. Because when when we're sitting back here talking about playing hard and heavy, he is certainly probably the guy that most comes to mind on our team because he really has one speed, and he certainly does play hard.
Coach, first question for you today is, this listener says, I've heard Coach say that you like to recruit players that have hard skill. Speaking of this year's freshman class, do you feel you got more hard or more skill?
That's a great question. That was the conversation we had today. You know, I was talking to the coaches to Dallas and Brooksy, and Shells was in here as well, just hanging out. And I said, guys, you know, one pet peeve I have is when we come back and we're talking about recruits, and we say about recruit, I think he's just about ready to pop. And when he pops, everybody's going to want him. We might want to get him before he pops. And that means before he starts to show, you know, right before he starts to show that he's that player. Well, you know what? Sometimes that player never does show he's that player. Or sometimes that player just what they call pops on a weekend at a showcase or something and gets 4 or 5 points or 6 points, whatever, over a 3-game weekend. They say, yeah, that's the player we want. Everybody's talking about him. I'd rather the guy that gets it all the time. And that's why I put so much effort into our coaches on, let's not go out and just get one-hit wonders. Let's do our research. Let's find guys that we've been watching for a couple of years. We watch him young. We're starting to track him. Then we see how he's transcending at the different levels. And that was Tommy Paratino. I saw Tommy Paratino play a lot when he was young. And then it was like, okay, let's see him do it at the next level. Then he goes into midgets. And then you're starting to see it where game's on the line, puck's on his stick. Then he gets into junior, and he's the first pick overall in the USHL, but we had already committed him, but it never really happened. Now, a lot of people would have given up on Tommy Perrottino and said, okay, go play someplace else, and would have turned out to be a good college player. But I had known what he had done in the past, and he just didn't, you don't know if he's going to end up doing it in college, but I knew the player he was because I'd seen him enough, and he never did pop at the junior level, never did become that elite performer at the junior level, was a good player, but never an elite player and didn't show a ton of offensive capabilities. So to answer the question, did we go, I think we went after, for the most part, harder skill. Blaze Richards, who's got to figure things out a little bit more, is more of a hard skill, Pogliese kind of a guy that I think has a little bit more ability to make a play, heavy shot, can score when he gets around the net, but right now he just isn't showing an understanding. He's running around a lot, and we have, like, we've talked about Arvid, we've talked about Bantle. They're doing a lot of that right now as well because they're freshmen, and you really have to show in practice. That'd put a lot in our lineup of guys that really aren't, you know, aren't really totally understanding the patience, where to exert the energy, where not to exert the energy. But I think we have, I'd say the one guy that's probably needs to play with harder skill, has some skill, but when he was committed here a while back, was playing in Green Bay in the USHL, and then just kind of turned into a bit of a perimeter player, but he was already committed to us as Nardella. Nardella's got to show that he's going to play harder in hard ice, and then when he's doing that, he can make plays and things like that. But again, right now he's showing and the reason I didn't play him against a heavy team like Lake State is that he's showing a lot of outside skill, a lot of soft ice skill that you may never get a chance to make those plays if we don't get the puck. And so we need him to chase more. So, but I would say for the most part, it's harder skill that we know a little bit more about, and we just got to get them. I mean, you can see where Bantle goes, tries to go through guys. You can see where Arvid goes. You know, he's a little too aggressive in going in and getting caught a little bit too deep. So we got to get them out and get them to read it. And then when they're the first guy, teach them, help them learn the tactics when they are the first guy on the puck to win those battles or at least create battles so we can then get some help in there, if that answers the question.
Yeah, it does. Thanks, Coach. Next question for you, coming from a listener, wants to know a little bit more about Caden Bailey and where he stacks up, I guess, against everybody else. Mark Sinclair and Blake Pietila were on the road with the team this weekend. Is there a ways to go for the freshman netminder?
Yeah, I think there is. I do think there is. I think, like, he's showing the ability in practice to make spectacular saves, side-to-side saves and things like that. What he is doing is he is getting beat on initial shots quite a bit. And there's, you know, like, again, there's three parts of goaltending that are very important, and that's your initial positioning, being ready and square and things for the first shot. Then it's the ability to make the save once you're in position, and then it's recovery to the next shot. Or to the next play. His recovery is good. He's certainly athletic. And he's showing to be pretty good on his set position. His puck stopping needs to get better at this level to be able to warrant beating out the other two guys, because the other two guys are pretty good puck stoppers that have the other parts of their games in as well. So that's where Caden's at right now. I think it's going to take him a little bit of time at this level to catch up to the speed and velocity of the shot.
Next question for you, Coach, and I'll jump in here before I ask the question. You have mentioned many times that having a crowd or not having a crowd, it really doesn't affect the way you coach. This listener is asking, does it affect the players? Does it make it easier for them to communicate out there? Does it make it easier for the other team to find out what you're doing because of the communication, whether it be blind passes or anything like that? Do you have any comments on that, Coach?
I honestly didn't see where, and I don't, you can comment as well. I didn't see where it impacted the game at all. Actually, I didn't hear crowd noise, but when you're playing those goals back It sounds like the crowd noise. Was that mic'd in somehow to Full Hockey or to your broadcast?
Yeah. Well, no. That's just the crowd mic that I crank up probably a little bit too loud to get some ambience noise in there. But
okay, because I didn't hear any. I mean, there was no crowd at the game, but it sounded like there was on goals that you could hear a little bit in the background. So maybe I was just coming from the bench. So you did a good job with that. But I didn't see where it affected the game at all. You know, we've gotten to Lake Superior and they haven't had very good crowds anyways. So to be honest, it wasn't, did you feel it was that much different than when we were there? I didn't, and I don't think the players did either.
Yeah, I mean, for me, being a fan watching it, it certainly was different. When goals were scored, you know, just to not have any, you know, whether it be the home team or even, you know, we travel so well with our Husky fans that, you know, you can hear the benches, and that's what you are hearing. You're hearing the benches yell and then music come on immediately. So it is a little different. But I said it several times during the weekend. I think we're a bit numb to this because of watching baseball all summer and them not having fans, and watching football and watching hockey with no fans at all, just the seats all covered up. I mean, I think we're kind of already acclimated to it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I thought the officiating, I think that the crowds, the lack of crowds impact the officiating. I think they don't react to things as much. And really, the penalties they call now, they have to look for them a little bit. You know what I mean? So I like that. I mean, there were four penalties, I believe, total yesterday, three penalties the day before. So I think that's the case. It was interesting on one. I'll tell you one dynamic that is going to be a little bit hard. In this being the last year of our league and with us being one of the teams that pulls out, and I think our relationship overall, I don't think Michigan Tech has been. I think it's been a strained relationship, anyways, with the league. But we had a situation the other yesterday that you probably noticed that totally baffled me. It was the referee came over to the bench and said that they've asked for a review. Lake State has asked for a review on a spear, so they're going to go back and look at a spear and see if they can see it. They didn't see anything, but they're going to look for it. And so I said to the ref, I said, well, how can they ask you to do that? They aren't allowed. They've already used their timeout, and you have to use your timeout. They used it in the first period on the icing. They've already used their timeout. And he said, and he looked at me, and I said, so if they don't get it, then it's a penalty for delay of game. Like, how are you gonna resolve this? Because they can't ask you to review it. He skated around, turned back, and came back to me, and he said, I'm just going to look because this is something the referees want to do. I said, you want to go look at something that you never even saw, that no referee saw, but you want to see if something happened at a time on the clock, 10:42, that Lake Superior told you about. Now, normally you could contact the league about that and say, hey, listen, you know, just for teaching purposes, can you help the referees out and let them know that this, you know, they kind of missed one here. Because you remember the problem we had last year, kind of the same thing at Huntsville,
right,
where they went to find, and the guy said, if I go look at something, I'm going to come out with whatever I find, and he ended up calling a major on us as well when we requested a face mask look. They found it on them, but they found one on us as well. With the relationship, I think, with the league right now, it's a mute point, I think, to even send that in. And that's unfortunate. It'll be really good next year, I think, when we get to a different refereeing structure where I think we can really get some mentoring and some teaching going on with our officials to make them a little bit better. Did I explain that well?
I think
that
so. Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because that was absolutely against the rules because Lake State didn't have a timeout to be able to request that. And then the referee kind of said to me, well, we're just going to look at something here and because we think we might have missed something. Well, you just said. So, anyways, that's going to be a tough dynamic this year to not have, to not feel you have any sort of a resource with the league office.
Yeah, I know the broadcaster was shaking off the rust this week, and maybe the officials are shaking off some of the rust too. Finally getting going in this this season. Got another one here for you, Coach. Really quick, if you could, how much is Jamie Phillips on the ice with the goaltenders, and is he here full time or part time?
Yeah, full time, daily. He's our volunteer coach. He's on the ice every day. He's on with them right now as we speak. So He's doing an excellent job. And the biggest thing is, you know, I had a great relationship, as you know, with Jamie, and with Winchie, with, you know, with Angus, a great relationship. But then when you get to be the head coach, what I found, I never had that issue in juniors with any of the goalies I had, you know, with Cam Ellsworth, with Ryan Miller, you know, name many that went on and played college and played pro. Never had any issue in juniors. But in college, I found that there it's a little bit different in the head coaching deal, that they don't want to show the weaknesses in the development side of it. So that's why Jamie's a real good asset for us, because we'd be showing them the same things, we'd be doing the same things, we're teaching the same things, but they have that ear to talk to. You know, they have that guy that can call them and talk to them and, hey, listen, you're going to start for this reason, and Joel talked to you about it, and blah, blah. So it's a good dynamic. It's really a good thing. Probably no different than Jeff Boschel being a ex-goalie with the Red Wings, but having a goalie coach there that's working with their goalies as well, right? Because it seems to, in today's day and age, help their development.
All right, well, we'll take a quick time. I'll be back with a quick preview of the big weekend coming up against Northern Michigan. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93.
Market declines, oil prices, today's headlines can be scary. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a reasoned, disciplined approach to investing. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. Give us a call at 482-8680 for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Bud Light created a hard seltzer so satisfying, it will have your taste buds going wild. Let's listen in.
Attention, everyone. This is your taste bud director. We got an incoming Bud Light seltzer. What are we thinking, taste buds?
Refreshing!
Great.
Now, clean finish!
Yeah, I got that on.
Tastes like mango!
Yes, mango.
One more sip!
Bud Light seltzer. Listen to your taste buds and try it today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Seltzer, IRC Beer in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Well, it's a quick hour, isn't it? It's actually the same amount of time as any hour. It just seems like it. And the Joe Schaan Hour just about ready to wrap up. I want to remind people, no fans at all in the buildings this weekend, unfortunately, with their arch rival Northern Michigan. Not even comp tickets for family members or anything like that. So it's just unfortunate. And we'll just have to play the games against the Wildcats, Coach, Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. I mean, we certainly want our people to be able to see us. I don't know how the floor hockey stuff went, but, you know, we'd like people to be here. But, again, right now we have to play regardless, and the guys will show up to perform.
Obviously, a pretty stacked lineup for the Northern Michigan Wildcats. You know, we had some really good games against them last year. We really played well down at the Barry Event Center, which is where we'll be on Friday night. We got those wins in the playoffs there, and, of course, that triple overtime thriller with Piatela getting the goal. The matchup, Coach, do you think is really good against the Wildcats?
It's always good. It's always good. Same as Lake Superior. So the UP rivals are always good. They return just as us, just as Lake Superior, the majority of their team. They lose a very good defenseman in Ballou, for sure. Lose a forward or two, but they still have Laughlin back and a good portion of their power back. They've done a job. We'll see if it's a good job or not on really working the transfer portal. The last couple of years, they really worked the transfers, and I think that a lot of that comes from the agent connection. Probably, I would think that Grant has with through Minnesota, so that's helped them. I think to be able to reload a bit. So, and then they have a goaltender that sat out last year, a transfer from Division III, Stevens Point, that was the big goaltender in Division III a couple years ago in goal. So it'll be good. It should be very similar to the Lake State games as far as competitive and hard. They feel they have a good team. They're picked by some to finish third in the league, fourth in the league, and in the polls. So they return enough, and it'll be good hockey. So to show up and play, and they're just probably telling the players the same thing: you don't win on paper, you win on the ice. So make sure you compete.
Very good, Coach. We appreciate your time. Game time 7:07 on Friday night from the Barry. We'll be on the air at 6:30 here on Mix 93, and then Saturday night 6:07 from the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, 5:30 pregame right here on Mix 93. Coach, have a great week of practice, and we'll look forward to talking to you this weekend.
Great, and thanks everybody for listening and being part of Tech Hockey.